I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Nike has a hot new shoe, but it's not for everybody. Native Americans hope a new sneaker designed just for them will help promote fitness. But first, this week we've been talking about the upcoming fall television season. And every year around this time, various groups track the diversity of the casts on network shows. Advocacy groups have been demanding for years that the networks create programming that better reflects America's racial and ethnic diversity. But in recent years, that argument has inspired people of color in the industry to create their own programming and to try to create their own networks. At Tell Me More, we're going to bring you a series of conversations from those entertainment pioneers. We begin today with Jonathan Rogers. He is the president and CEO of TV One, a network aimed at the African-American audience. He joined us here in the studio. Mr. Rogers, welcome.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Before you became a network executive, you were a print journalist. How did you get the journalism bug?
You know, I don't know how religious I am, but I do think it was a calling. I woke up one morning and wanted to know everything first, but then I also wanted to tell it first. And that seemed to be the great definition of a journalist. So starting in high school, I started pursuing writing and reporting. I went to college at the University of California in Berkeley. And by my junior year, I was an intern in New York at Time Magazine and Sports Illustrated.
Before we get into the broadcast side of the business, I did want to ask about your stint at Sports Illustrated. Is it right that you were the first African-American journalist ever hired at Sports Illustrated? Is that right?
Yes, as the first writer. And let me just tell you, it was a great experience. You know, even then, you know, African-Americans were dominant in sports. But we didn't have any of the clout we currently have. And one of the great series I worked on at Sports Illustrated was an article we titled The Plight of the Black Athlete. And this was in the 60s and 70s, where most black athletes were afraid to speak up. This was only 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
People were literally afraid to talk about their life circumstances?
Absolutely. Fortunately, society has changed, times have changed. But this was a time when I first joined Sports Illustrated in 1968. This was a time in which the most powerful football conference, the Southeast Conference, which is down in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, were proud of the fact that they had no blacks. They used to refer to it as popcorn football, no people of color at all playing the
football.
And
this was openly discussed. This was not secret stuff.
This was post-desegregation. So it was amazing, but it's also amazing to have seen the change in sports over the last four decades.
This whole question of the relationship that the storytellers should have with the subjects of those stories is still one that persists. There's this controversy over this animated public service ad that is running on your competitor called Read a Book. Some people consider it completely rude and obscene. There's a lot of cursing in it, even though there's sort of a cleaned up version. And you know, the argument is that this is very real. This is how people talk. And some say, look, you know, these African-American oriented channels really should not be about the business of displaying what some consider the more negative aspects of the community, the sort of the dysfunction, so forth. And they would argue that, you know, where's the critical distance? And if you're that close to your sources, can you maintain that critical distance?
Well, and again, I think you have to separate journalism from entertainment. And clearly what BET and TV One, we do is entertainment. In the same way that we should all be true to ourselves, I also believe you should be true to your audience. Because white Americans can watch TNT or TBS or Lifetime or Oxygen, MTV and VH1, in my judgment, are worse, and I'll use the term worse, than BET is in terms of their display of human nature and of human beings. They just don't happen to all be black. Going back to your journalism question, are we part of the story? Are you separating the story? I grew up under the guise of Edward R. Murrow, and Edward R. Murrow referred to documentaries as being a mirror on the society. That is the philosophy I've embedded into TV One. We're putting a mirror on our society, and we're controlling our own images. And the fact is, control is crucially important. When BET was sold and Bob Johnson sold BET to Viacom for $3 billion, that is the highest price a cable channel has ever been sold for. And I don't think any cable channel will ever, except for maybe ESPN, reach that high.
How do you interpret that information, that price? What does that mean to you?
It means to me, on one hand, Bob Johnson did a marvelous job as a businessman and as a person who understood the cable industry of staying focused. Now, I yelled at him. You probably yelled at him and everybody else yelled at him. but he was focused. I hope I can be as focused on my adult audience as he was on his young audience.
Yelled at him for what? Putting on trashy booty shaking videos and not
before much I got to cable, I used to work in broadcasting. I used to work at CBS. And broadcasting, by definition, is broader based. I didn't understand cable, so I didn't understand why Bob couldn't do documentaries on BET or appropriate news shows on BET or have a balanced program. But now that I've been in the cable business for 10 years, I understand you cannot do that and be successful.
You think that the criticism of BET is by and large unfair, as you know, because you live in the area as well, that there's a group that is now picketing the home of Deborah Lee, the COO of BET, saying that they want to take a stand against the kind of program that they think demeans African Americans. You think that's unfair?
I think it's unfair because the picket should be walking around the houses of the cable distributors and the satellite distributors. Bob tried for numerous years to get a second or third channel. The cable industry wasn't supportive. Now that there is an option, TV One, there still exists a few cable operators and satellite operators who don't have us on. So all I really ask of the industry is that they give African Americans choice. As long as BET was out there by themselves, yes, they deserve the pressure war because there was no other alternatives. But the fact is, there should be other alternatives for African Americans.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More, and we're talking to Jonathan Rogers, president and CEO of the television network, TV One. One of your new offerings for fall, TV One is offering some original series. You've got a cooking show on. You've got a show on with Michelle Singletary, who's also an NPR contributor on personal finance. And got a new show coming up for fall from the so-called bad boy of radio, Michael Basin. Let's hear a short clip.
Be honest, family, let's get real about this. We decided to be honest today. Relationships would end overnight. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Now, you all going to participate in this, right?
Yeah.
I need to participate. Now, by applause, ladies, how many of y'all have been sexually dissatisfied in your relationship?
You're laughing.
I think it's hilarious. Based in After Dark is the show. B-A-D. Bad.
So I guess my question is sex really the key to success on cable?
Oh, I don't necessarily think so. But what I like about Based in After Dark is for the first time in this country since Arsenio Hall, there will be a black figure in late night television. And it's no different than his radio show, which is highly, highly popular.
I guess the question I would have is there really a dearth of African-American men speaking freely about sex in this society right now? It seems to me there's lots of conversations on these topics. I just wonder, why is it sex seem to be such an important draw? And I do credit your point. Look, you have a lot of other programs. Yeah. You do have, you know, Gavin, who's your,
my sexy chef.
Yeah, your sexy chef.
And you don't have to cook the crab meat. It's already cooked.
Look, crab is already steamed. Olives.
Okay.
So now, look, see what we got in here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This is why cooking's sexy.
Yeah, this is nice. And this is good. I'm so sick of people eating like shredded this and shredded that and blue
and
cheese.
And a chopped and salad. And
it's like crazy.
Seriously.
But he does cook clothes. But, well, I mean, some might argue, I'm not browbeating you, but some might argue you're kind of going down the same road that people criticize BET for.
Well, I don't know that conversation with experts is the same road if you mean videos with scantily clad people, you know, shaking their booty. No, that's not what we do. We have conversations, and we have conversations with experts. And sex isn't the essence of Based in After Dark. The fact is, radio, I believe, is still the truest form of communication for African Americans. And his show has been on the radio successfully for a number of years. And every barbershop and beauty shop I go to at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, his show is on. Now, you'll say to some people, in fact, I said to my barber the other day, I said, we're thinking about bringing him to TV. Do you like him? He said, no. I said, then why do you listen to him every day? He says, I don't want to miss what he has to say. So that's an element of television, is the surprise element. But again, just think about this from this, my sociological point of view. A strong black man with the freedom to say what he wants to on television. What I do is I look at ratings. African Americans watch programs that have a number of African-Americans in them and are set in situations that we're familiar with. The top 10 for African-Americans rarely matches the top 10 for the general market. So what we know is not only do African-Americans watch more television, we watch it differently. So as long as the networks keep putting one black person on each show, that is fine, but that's not what our viewers want. Our viewers want to see us. Why are these reality shows, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, or even Discovery's programming, getting high ratings among African Americans? Because it's real. we get to see ourselves as we really are, as opposed to the eyes of some writer, producer, director. So we like American Idol because we think we have a chance to win. We didn't like The Bachelor because we knew we didn't have a chance to win. But in scripted programs, we are put in our roles. And again, when I talk about scripted program, I've set aside, you know, Grey's Anatomy, which is truly one of the great programs about us in real life. But there's just too few shows like that.
But does it, at the end of the day, when if you ever take a sort of a quiet moment to contemplate this, how do you feel about that? Does it make you feel that it's wonderful that you've got shows that are more diverse, scripted programming as well as reality, but at the end of the day, the industry is making a judgment that white viewers, who remain the majority, do not wish to be entertained by persons of color in lead roles.
And that is fine with me that I'm in this other business. And that's why you need companies like TV
One. But what about you as a citizen, as a human being, as a neighbor, as a person who's worked in a diverse environment your entire life, who's been a manager and a leader in mainstream organizations where you exerted leadership? You're a citizen. You live here. You go to Giant. You shop.
You know, I guess I wish that we didn't need a TV One, but the fact is we do need a TV One. As much as I believe in diversity, I believe more in acculturation, I believe that our contributions to this society need to be maintained and cherished and honored. I heard a demographer once say recently that essentially you could divide the African-American population in half. The dividing line is about age 36. The group under the age 36 is not part of the civil rights generation, and most of them don't even care about the civil rights generation. I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure they are aware. We brought Roots back on his 30th anniversary and put it on TV One. And the email and letters we got about parents watching with their children was just moving to us. You know, the farther and farther slavery gets away from us, I'm just concerned. We can't ever forget slavery.
If you had a chance to talk to Jonathan Rogers, who graduated from Berkeley and got a master's at Stanford, starting his career today, what would you tell him?
Get into ownership sooner. The key to life is what Kathy Hughes did and what her son Alfred Liggins is doing. We need to own in order to control. Nobody tells Kathy Hughes how to program her radio stations. You have to own it.
Jonathan Rogers is the president and CEO of the cable TV channel, TV One. He was kind enough to join us here in the studio. Mr. Rogers, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's my pleasure.